Yomi recently started Maseches Pesachim, so I thought we'd start saying Shirim on Inyanim Sugyas relating to Maseches Pesachim. There are a lot of Gevaldika Sugyas in the first few Dapim of the Masechta. It's more like a Shir Psicha in the general Inyan of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei, which is obviously the first Sugya, or not obviously, but maybe the first Sugya that comes up in the entire Masechta. Just next week, I'm not going to be here on Tuesday night. Maybe we'll reschedule for a different night, because there's no reason to not have a Shir. And the following week is Tisha B'Av. All right, we'll have to figure it all out. But for tonight, let's discuss a little bit of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. The Gemara, first Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, Or La Rabas Abotkenes Chametz La Raner. On the night, we spend a daf and a half defining the word Or, but the word Or ultimately means night, the night of the 14th day of Nisan. So we do Bedikas Chametz La Or Haner. Now the question that the Rishonim immediately deal with on the very first line of the Masechta is, why do we do Bedikas Chametz? The Gemara deals with what Or means and when do we do Bedikas Chametz for several blot, in terms of when we do Bedikas Chametz, but the Rishonim deal with why do we do Bedikas Chametz. And part of the question of why we do Bedikas Chametz assumes a knowledge of later sugyas in the first parak, which we've already seen by now. Those who are doing the Daf Yomi have already seen, and namely the idea that the Gemara says that Bedikas Chametz is only midrabanan. The Gemara in Daf Dalid says that Bedikas Chametz is only a din drabanan. Midoraisa bebitul bi'al masagia. Midoraisa, it's all one packet. It's all one. Here, I think maybe Dr. Oppenheim didn't get a full one. That's two.
There you go. That's the rest of yours. No one else gets one.
So the on a daraisa level, all you need to do is bittul chametz. There's no requirement to do bedikas chametz at all. So obviously, something motivated the rabbanan to make us do bedikas chametz. What was their motivation to make us do bedikas chametz? But it's clearly a rabbanan. Now, if in case you would think that, okay, well maybe I could do bedika instead of bittul. Maybe it's not that the rabbanan are telling me to do bedika in addition to bittul. Maybe what the rabbanan are telling me is that if I don't want to do bittul and I prefer to do bedika, which is logical, you would think bittul is one way of getting rid of chametz by mentally destroying the chametz, and bedika is physically destroying the chametz. So I would think bedika is an even stronger form of tashbisu, an even stronger form of getting rid of chametz than bittul is. So the Gemara is very clear about that as well. The Gemara in Daf Vav Amud Beis tells us habodek tzarich sheyivatel, that no, if you do bedikas chametz, you still need to do bittul chametz. The Gemara deals with why, but certainly you need to do both. So the question then begs itself, and all the Rishonim are bothered, why is it that the Chacham were mesakein bedikas chametz if anyway you're going to have to do bittul, and bittul is all you really need, mida oraisa. So what motivated the Chachamim to have us do bedikas chametz? So Rashi, in the first Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta, Rashi writes that the reason we do bedikas chametz in source number two, shlo yavar alav bebal yirah bal yimatzei, that we do bedikas chametz in order to avoid violating bal yirah bal yimatzei. Tosfos, meaning there's nisa daraisa bal yirah bal yimatzei, nisa daraisa ta'on chametz. So the Chachamim were mesakein that in order to avoid violating that nisa daraisa, find it and destroy it, and then you won't own it, so you won't have any problems of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. Frektosos, wait a second. We already solved the problem of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. How do you solve the problem of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei? You do bittul. Bittul takes care of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. What motivated the Rabbanan to do bedika can't be so that you won't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. You're already not going to violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei when you do bittul chametz. If you look in source number three, Tosos writes, Or la arbas or bot knas ha chametz, pirsha kontrush shalo laver lov b'bal yirah b'bal yimatzei, v'kasha l'ri. Kivan de tzarech bittul, kadam rigmar da vavam beis, since anyway you need to do bittul, habodik tzarech shevatel, umidoraisa bittul li amasagi, and midoraisa bittul alone is enough. Enough for what? Enough to avoid violating bal yirah b'bal yimatzei. Then why do you need bedika to avoid violating Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei? You've already avoided Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei by doing your bittul. So says Tosos v'nir l'ri, di'afelgav desagi bebittul bialma, hechmiru chachamim livdok chametz ulevaro shelo yavaliachlo. He says, no, it's a totally different Indian. The reason we do bedikas chametz is not for any concern mida oraisa. If it were about Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei, bittul alone would take care of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. The reason we do bedikas chametz is for a concern midrabanan that even after mentally destroying the chametz by doing bittul, but the chametz is still physically there, and therefore we're concerned that you're going to come to eat the chametz. What's the best way to avoid eating the chametz? not having any chametz, just searching for it, destroying it, getting rid of it. If you don't have any chametz, then you're not going to come to eat any chametz. You're not going to have any problems with eating chametz. Shelo yavo liachlo. That is the approach of Tosos. So Tosos L'chora has a very, very strong taina on Rashi. How could Rashi say that the purpose of Bedikas Chametz is Shelo Lavril of Bayra Bayimatze? Very, very difficult. That's what Bittul is for, and we have to do Bittul anyway. So in order to defend Rashi, the Ran and Daf Alef Amud Alef Bedapei Arif, the Ran explains, if you look in source number 4, Elekachu Ikarin Shel Devarim. He says this is how to understand it. Shezesh Amra Torah Tashbisu Yachol Eskayim BeEchad MiBeis Devarim. That when the Torah told us to destroy chametz, the Torah didn't have a specific method of destroying chametz in mind. What the Torah was doing is the Torah was giving us options. The Torah told us destroy it, but one out of two ways. O sheyivatel b'libo kol chametz sheyish b'rishuso. One option is b'mivatel b'lev, mentally destroy the chametz. V'yotzienu b'machshavaso merishuso. In your mind, you should take it out of your rishus. V'sagi b'achim yidaraisa afil b'chametz yidua lo. And on a daraisa level, even if you know about the chametz, you know exactly where it is, and it's delicious, and it's in your house, it's still, that's fine, that's okay on a daraisa level. Oh, the other option is imlo bitul belibo klal. If you choose not to do bitul, tzarich minat Torah sheyivdok achrav mikol makom shu ragili matzisham viva arenu mina olam. Very logical that the other option would be make sure there's no chametz. How does one destroy chametz? So the chiddush is that you could do bitul. So when the Gemara says yeah midaraisa bebitul bial nasagi, that's a chiddush that I could destroy chametz just by mentally having in mind that I want to disassociate myself from it. That's quite a big chiddush, that would be enough to destroy chametz. But the obvious way to destroy chametz is by finding it and actually destroying it. So the Ran says when Rashi writes that the purpose of bedikas chametz is shelo yavril b'yirel b'yimatzei, he's talking about somebody who chooses that path. Someone who instead of choosing bittul chooses bedika. Now this does not explain why we would have to do bedika if we are doing bittul, which we do. We do bedika anyway, even when we are doing bittul. But it explains why the concept of bedika, the notion of bedika, the idea of searching and destroying for chametz can be a d'oraisa concept. If there's no bittul, so then it's a d'oraisa concept. The Ran a little bit further writes, V'hainu l'misha eino mevatel. This is all for someone who is not being mevatel the chametz. Aval, l'misha mevatel sagi b'hachi. If a guy is going to do bittul chametz, then that on a d'oraisa level is perfectly fine, like the Gemara says, mi d'oraisa bittul b'al mesagi. Ella, so good, so now we're stuck at the question. Good, so if on a daraisa level, bittul alone is enough. And when Rashi says that the whole purpose of bedika shalalavra labai rabbi yamatzeh, it's only talking about someone who doesn't do bittul. Well, we do bedika and bittul, so why? Why do we do bedika also if we have to do bittul anyway? We're going to do bittul anyway, so why did the chacham force us to do bedika? We don't need it to avoid bali rabbi yamatzeh anymore. We've already avoided bali rabbi yamatzeh with our bittul. So says the Ran, el mipneshe bittul zet holi b'machshavasan shal b'nei adam. He says bittul is a tricky thing. Bittul really depends on a person's state of mind, on a person's attitude, on where a person is in his emotional connection to the chametz. The ein deil say and shavos, not everybody is the same in terms of their attitude. The efshar sheyiklu bekach lo yitzul miliban legamri. Someone's going to say, "I'm being mevatel." We don't really know how much he means that. So rol chacham lahachmir shalayaspik bittul v'itzrichu bediko birushu maspik gamken mina Torah. So the chacham said, "You know what? Let's do bediko bir because that's equal for everybody. There's no two ways to do that. You find it, you destroy it, it's gone. It doesn't matter what your attitude is. It's a physical reality. It's no longer there. So that's a way of evening the playing field, making it that everybody's going to really get rid of their chametz in an effective way." So, to long story short, the way the Ran essentially describes it is, on a daraisa level, does bittul work? Absolutely, bittul works on a daraisa level. But the chacham were concerned that you're not going to do a real bittul. And because the chacham were concerned you're not going to do a real bittul, they demanded that we do bedika as well, to physically destroy all of the chametz. So essentially we have Rashi who says that bedikah is to avoid bayirah bayimatzi, but we've just explained that that's only in the absence of bittul. If you're not going to do bittul, then bedikah is to avoid bayirah bayimatzi. And then we have Tosa saying, no, the purpose of bedikah is, even when you do bittul, the purpose of bedikah is that shelo yavo liachlo. We don't want it to physically be around because we're afraid that you're going to come to eat the chametz if the chametz is physically around. The way that Ran understands Rashi is that if I'm doing bittul, why do I do bedikah? Not because we don't want it to physically be around, but because we're concerned about the integrity of my bittul. So we want to choose the other method of getting rid of chametz, and that is bedikah and biur. Now, there is a comment that I saw Rav Yonasan Sachs, much of this tonight's shiur, not all of it, much of tonight's shiur is from Rav Yonasan Sachs, Sefer Chazon Liyamim, Siman Aleph. So he quotes from Rabbeinu Yohanan Miloneil, one of the Rishonim, that explains a little bit differently. Now, what's the reason for Bedikas Chametz? So he says, like Rashi, that it's to avoid violating Balirah Balimatze. Why isn't Bittul alone good enough to avoid violating Balirah Balimatze? So writes Rabbeinu Yonasan Miloneil as follows. He says, both Kines HaChametz, this is in source number 5, I apologize for the lack of Mar Makomo sheets, I can never predict how many people are going to be here, and I don't know, I didn't, whatever, I was in a rush. Both Kines HaChametz Shalo Yavar Lav B'Bal Yirah B'Bal Yimatzeh, says Rabbi Yonasan Miloneil, we do Bedikah so to avoid violating B'Bal Yirah B'Bal Yimatzeh, V'Yaf Al-Gav Davasagi B'Bitul B'Yalma, Shiyomar Kol Chamir Adika B'Beisi V'Lo Yadan Aleyeh Batul V'Chashav Kafra. And even though Bittul alone could have been enough, and he paraphrases the text of the Bittul, V'kivan shebittul shuveno over love Balirah Bayimatse, and if you do the Bittul, you no longer have to worry about Balirah Bayimatse, Afal Pikein Gazru Chachamim Sheyivarenu Mibeso, Dilma Yimsa Gluska Yafa V'yimlach Al Bitulo V'yachshevena La'achila V'yavar Al Balirah Bayimatse. He says, what am I worried about? That you're going to find a nice piece of chametz, and you're going to undo your bittul, and then you're going to eat the, you're going to have in mind, even if you don't actually eat it, you're going to have in mind that you want to eat that chametz, and that's going to be a violation of Balirah Balimatze. So if we're keeping score at home, everyone agrees, seemingly at this point, everyone agrees that if you are doing bittul, there's no need mida oraisa to do bedikah. What's the reason we do bedikah midirabbanan? So three approaches. The way the Ran explains Shitas Rashi, we do it midirabbanan in case my bittul lacked integrity, in case there was something wrong with the original bittul. Tosfos says, no, I'm not worried about anything being wrong with the original bittul. I'm just worried that if the chametz is there, you might eat it. In a moment where you lose yourself and you forget, and you're, after all, we've seen in the daf a few times already, that lo badil mine, people aren't used to staying away from chametz. You're going to lose yourself, you're going to come to eat the chametz. That's what, nothing wrong with your bittul. Your bittul is fine, but you can't eat chametz. It's an isakaris to eat chametz, so we don't want you to eat chametz, and the best way to avoid eating is getting rid of it. Rabbeinu Yonasan Miloneil, a third approach. There was nothing wrong with the original bittul, and I'm not even worried that you're going to eat it, because by the time you pick it up to eat it, you're going to remember and you're going to realize. But there's going to be a moment where you're going to think about eating it. And when you think about eating it, that great bittul that you did before, that there was nothing wrong with, you've now undone it. You've destroyed that bittul chametz. So by destroying that bittul chametz, now you violate Balirah Balimatzeh. And that's what Rashi means. That's how Rabbi Yonasan Miloneil, a little bit different than the Ran. These are nuances of different, because everyone's describing the same basic idea, that if you do bittul, there's no reason for bedikah on a daraisa level, and that bedikah is to deal with some concern midrabanan, but three approaches as to what that concern midrabanan is. Is it a problem of the integrity of the bittul? Is it a problem that I'm going to come to eat it? Or is it a problem that I'm going to come to own it by thinking about eating it, and that's going to be a violation of balirah balimatzeh? Now, all of this, of course, assumes that there is an Isra in the, not assumes, there is an Isra in the Torah called balirah balimatzeh. Torah tells us you're not allowed to own chametz. One of the fascinating discussions that the Rishonim have that may relate to this is, why did the Torah make an Isra balirah balimatzeh? Tosfos already on the first Amud of the Masechta deals with this a little bit. Of all of the Isurim in the Torah that are so terrible and things that we have to work so hard to avoid, what motivated the Torah, what motivated HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dafka make an Isser to own this, to own chametz? There's no Isser to own chazer. Chazer is despicable to a Jew, right? It was something that we would never associate with. There's no Isser to own nevela. Why not? Isn't that also something terrible, something that we want to stay as far away from as possible? What made the Torah, what motivated the Ribbono Shel Olam? And it's hard to ask a question like this, but the Rishonim ask it, the Rishonim deal with it. What motivated HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make an Isser of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei, to make an Isser of owning Chametz? So the Ran really says the same thing that Tulsa suggests. If you look in the Ran in source number 6, he says Umashet Shrichu Chachamim Bedika B'Chametz Yoser Mibishari Surin. That which we require bedika, we don't just rely on bittul. Kavar kasafti shasukein lekayim mitzvas tashbisu shachashul bnei adam shlo yivatlu b'makshavas l'gamri. So he says, I already explained that we're worried people aren't going to do a proper bittul. V'imat omer shachashu shlo yivatlu achlo k'divra rishonim zal. And if you're going to say like Tosfos that we were worried that people are going to come to eat it. He says, let me explain to you why the concern that you're going to come to eat it is more of a concern by chametz than it is by chazer, and than it is by nevela, and than it is by all the other isurin. Mishum de chametz lo bedili in shemine kule shasa, v'chamer isure tfei de ispe kares. Chametz is something you were not used to staying away from. It's very severe. It's an isur kares. And there it is. The Ran says, and that's why the Torah was machmir, that there's a violation by Yirah by Yimatzei. Why? Why did the Torah make an Isra on Chametz? Because we're so used to eating it, and it's really bad. So we have other things that are really bad, we have other things that we're used to eating, but we rarely have something that's really bad and we're used to eating. So something that's really bad, that's an Isra Karis, and we're used to eating, the Torah wants us to stay as far away as possible, so the Torah creates this Isra of Bal Yirah. Now this opens up for us a very interesting concept. This concept of figuring out that the reason the Torah makes an Issur d'Oraisa, a Bayra Bayimatze, not to own Chametz, is because the Torah's worried that absent that Issur of owning Chametz, if I still own my Chametz, that I might come to eat the Chametz. Now that very terminology, I might come to, almost always describes an Issur d'Rabbanan. Every time you say that you don't want to do this because it might lead to, it's almost always about an Issur d'Rabbanan. That if I do this, it's going to come to that. Now, what are some examples of an Issur d'Rabbanan? Why does the Gemara say you shouldn't clap and dance on Shabbos? Shem yavel sakin klishir, that you're going to come to fix a musical instrument. Okay, whether that Issur applies, that example is the best example or not the best example is irrelevant. But the point is that we're dealing with an Issur d'Rabbanan because it's Shema Yavo, that you might come to do something, or the Issur of taking medicine on Shabbos, right? It's going to Shema Yavo l'shchika sammanim. We're afraid that it's going to lead you to grinding up your own medicine. It's going to lead you to violate the Issur d'Oraisa. Oh, good, good, good. So Rav Yosef Engel points out, he has a beautiful piece in Lekach Tov, that we see from here and a few other places, including that there is a concept called the Siyag d'Oraisa. In classic Rav Yosef Engel style, he starts off his essay by saying, I thought of this idea and I was wondering if it exists. Is there such a thing called the Siyag d'Oraisa? That the Torah itself will make a fence around its own law. That the Torah is going to make an Isser, Shema Yavo, that you shouldn't do another Isser in the Torah. So he says, I thought of 16 examples. He goes through 16 examples in Shas and Poskim, and not just Shas and Poskim, like Mefarshim on Chumash, and Bekius was unbelievable, if you ever read a Yosef Engel's Sfarim. So he goes through several examples. One of the examples he gives is Yichud. A Yichud is an Isser d'Oraisa. The Gemara has a strange lashon. The main sugya of Yichud is the last two blad of Maseches Kiddushin. The last of Bar Maseches Kiddushin, the Gemara has an expression, Remez li Yichud min HaTorah minayin. How do I know Remez for Yichud min HaTorah? So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, Ki Yisischa Achicha Ben Imecha, that if your brother, Ben Imecha, the son of your mother, is Mesis you, cause you to do Avodah Zarah, so what does Yichud have to do with Avodah Zarah? Absolutely nothing. But the phrase in the Pasuk is, Ben Imecha. It juxtaposes the word ben with the word aim, with the word imecha. So the Gemara Darshins, oh, you see that a ben and an aim are allowed to have yichud with each other, but any other arayos are not allowed to have yichud with each other. Why? Because the words are juxtaposed. Which of the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar and Joshua's ben is that? that because the Torah gives the example of Ben Imecha and not Ben Avicha, right? The Gemara says, "V'chi Ben Ei Mesis Ben Av Einu Mesis." What your maternal brother will lead you to do Avodah Zarah, but your paternal brother won't lead you to do Avodah Zarah. Anyone could lead you to do Avodah Zarah if they're a bad enough person. What does that have to do? So the Gemara says, so you see that Ben Imecha must be telling me something about some other halacha, that a Ben and Eim are allowed to have Yichud, and Ben and but other Arayos are not allowed to have, are not allowed to have Yichud. So it's an unusual drasha. It almost leads you to say that can't be d'oraisa. So some of the Rishonim say it's not a real drasha d'oraisa. Really, it's from Torah Shebal Peh somehow that we know. That's just an asmachta, but it is a din d'oraisa. How do I know yichud is a din d'oraisa? There are several other Gemaras and Shas that say so explicitly. Gemara Nevel Zar, Gemara Sanhedrin, yichud for arayos is d'oraisa. Yichud for a guy is only midrabanan. The Gemara says that was Yichud for a single girl is only Drabbanan also. The Gemara says there are three stages in the Yisra of Yichud. There's Yichud with Arayos, let's say Nashus Ish. That's Yichud Araisa. But Yichud for a single girl, that was Beis Dino Shel David HaMelech. David HaMelech in his time, when he saw the terrible Maisa that happened with his own children, with Amnon and Tamar, so he said, even a Bas Melech, who's a Tznua, could have this happen to her, so he made an Isser Yichud. He got his Beis Din together and made an Isser Yichud for a single girl. What about Yichud with the guy? That was Beis Dino Shel Shammai VeHillel. That was later in history that they made that Isser. But the idea of Yichud with Arayos is certainly a Din D'Oraisa. Now why? Why are we not allowed to have Yichud? Because it might lead to Bia. That's presumably the reason for the Yisra Yichud. Who said? Who said that's the reason for the Yisra Yichud? Maybe you're just not allowed to Yichud, because you're not allowed to Yichud. Maybe you tasted that, it's because you're gonna come to Bia. So Rashi seems to say it. Rashi writes, my time alo yisyachidim, right in source number 11 over here, my time alo yisyachidim shtei nashim, kisha shem yisyachedes im beza nashim. He's explaining the Gemara over there. The Gemara says, why is it that the laws of Yichud are inequitable? When it comes to a man with women, so you only need one man and two women is an Isser, but two men and one woman is not an Isser. So why it seems unfair? So the Gemara says, because Nashim are daitan kala alehen, v'shteyen nochos l'ispatos. Rashi explains that, and therefore, since women are more easily convinced to go against their better judgment, So they're likely to lead to Bia when you have two women and one man, but it's very unlikely to lead to Bia when you have two men and one woman. Who said anything about Bia? We're talking about an Isra Yichud. What does that have to do with Bia? So Elamai, you see that there's obviously a connection, that there's some deep connection between Bia and Yichud, that Yichud is there to protect from an Isra Bia. There happens to be many other examples that Rav Yosef Engel quotes. We'll go through a couple of them quickly. I want to get back to the Pesachim stuff. But one fascinating one, he has a Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar says that the mitzvah of Kisui Adam is a Siyag D'Oraisa, that you won't come to the Isra of Achilas Dam, which is a wild chiddush to say that. There's obviously a fundamental hole in that argument. What's the fundamental hole? Where do we do Kisui Adam? When you shecht a chayo or an oaf, you do Kisui Adam. If you shecht a behema, if you ever see shechita, when they go shecht chickens, so there's Kisui Adam. If they shecht gasses or they shecht sheep, there's no Kisui Adam, because it's a behema. But the Yisra Achilas Dam is on a behema also. It's not only on a chayo or oaf. So that's a problem. Problem with that approach. Kli Yakar deals with it, but that's an issue. But he thinks that the basic concept of Kisui Adam is to cover the dam so that you don't come to eat the dam. Otherwise, after a long day of shechting, you might see the dam and say, "Oh, it looks delicious," and you're gonna come to eat the dam, to gulp up the dam. So in order to avoid that, you do Kisui Adam. Okay, that's just showing off his bekiyas a little bit. Now there's an Avos Rabbi Nassin that suggests this one I want to mention because it relates to, this one doesn't relate, but to today's daf. We'll get to one that relates to today's daf also. But the Avos Rabbi Nassin writes that, I'm just trying to find it here. So he says, Ezu Siag, you see, the reason the Avos Rabbi Nassin is important in the conversation is because it says it explicitly, it says the words explicitly. Ezehu Siag, Sha'asasa Torah Lidvareha, it's a typo over there, it's my typo, Sha'asasa it should be. What is the Siag that the Torah makes around its own words? Harehu Omer Velisha Benidas Tumasal Lo Sikrav. Torah says that you're not allowed to sleep with your wife when she's in Nida. Yachl Yichab Kenov Yinash Kenov Yidabrima Dvarim Betalim. So I might think that you can hug her and you can kiss her and you can speak Dvarim Betalim with her. Tamalomar Lo Sikrav. That's why it says Lo Sikrav. Yachl Yashinim Abibgadel Amita. You might think you could sleep in the same bed. Tamalomar Lo Sikrav. So all of the harchakos, says the Avos Rabbi Nasan, is a siyag d'oraisa. That this is, we often think of the harchakos as dinim d'rabanan, that all these things sound like dinim d'rabanan. No, these are dinim d'oraisa. Not all of them. Not all of them are dinim d'oraisa. This sort of pass, for instance, is not a din d'oraisa. That in fact, we don't even find in Shas. That's much later. That's a minog Rashi. It probably comes from Rishonim. We still keep it, but it's a later addition to Hilchas Nida. But the Isser of Chibuk v'Nishuk on Nida. So that's a din d'oraisa. What kind of din d'oraisa is that? So says Avraham Nasan, it's a siyag d'oraisa. The Torah is trying to protect us from the Isser of sleeping with a Nida. How does the Torah with Ishto Nida? How does the Torah do it? By removing other forms of affection, of affectionate interaction between husband and wife. It's interesting the three examples that it gives is four examples: chibuk, nishuk, sleeping in the same bed, and being medaber dvarim betelim. Being medaber dvarim betelim is a very, so what does that mean? You can't tell a knock knock joke when with ishto nida, that dvarim betelim. So it's probably not what it means. It's one of the few halachos in Kuvtzadihe in Yardaya in the siman about harchakos. One of the very few harchakos that are really subjective, that are not exactly clear, and can be defined differently by different people. The lashon the Shulchan Aruch is not dvarim betelim. It's lo yischok v'lo yakel roshima. If I'm not mistaken, I think I've taught enough chasadim that I know by heart already. Lo yischok v'lo yakel roshima, that you shouldn't have schok and kalus rosh with ishto nida. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So back to the knock knock joke, right? Schok and kalus rosh. Okay, she's not going to laugh at it. Okay, but still, what does that mean exactly? Schok and kalus rosh. So that's defined differently. The Debrezina has a tshuva in the Ber Moshe. Someone asked him if he allowed to play ping pong with ishto nida. And he says, Schok or Kalas Rosh? The guy wasn't even asking in terms of that. The guy was asking about passing something. Is that an issue of passing when you hit the ping pong ball back and forth to each other? So he says, what are you talking about? Schok or Kalas Rosh? You can't play games. So most of the other poskim assume not that way, I think. I think we assume that you can play games. Schok or Kalas Rosh means being flirtatious. It means some type of flirting. How do you define flirting? So you know when you're doing it. I don't know. It's a very hard thing to really define. But that's all the examples that the Avos Rabbi Nasan gives are examples that clearly. I don't want to get too far afield, but basically, if I had to summarize all of harchakos, there are two types of harchakos in Nida. There's harchakos which are clearly intimate in nature, and then there are ones that are just there to remind you that she's in Nida. Meaning there are ones that are there so that every interaction between husband and wife can somehow come with a reminder that the wife is in Nida. Not that it's inherently intimate. For instance, eating at the same table without a hecker in between. Right, so why? What do you need the hecker? What's that for? It's just because. So now, when you eat together, even then, even when you're not really doing something that's intimate, it's still going to come with a reminder that she's a nida. To pass something, maybe a chashash negia. That's a different issue. That's a machlokas rishonim. But also, it might be an issue of korva, just a reminder in every interaction. But the ones the examples that the Avos Rabbi Nasan gives, the more intimate ones, he says all of that is daraisa. That's part of lo sikrav, and it's a siyag. Let me give one more example of a siyag d'oraisa. I'll mention a couple of others quickly. Basar b'chalav, the Kesef Mishnah says, Torah says, Lo savashal gadi b'chalev imo, three times. So we learn from there that you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to cook, and you're not allowed to get hanah from basar b'chalav. Why am I not allowed to cook basar b'chalav? So what do you mean? The Torah says it three times. That's why I'm not allowed to do it. It says the Kesef Mishnah, it's a siyag, lest you come to eat basar b'chalav. A lot of times when you're cooking, you'll eat something, but it's a din d'oraisa. Yeah, it's a siyag d'oraisa. The Torah itself made an extra fence around the din d'oraisa. The Rav Yosef Engel suggests, based on Prima Gadim, that a nazir is not only not allowed to drink wine, nazir, and we know the Gemara says, the Mishnahis tell us, that a nazir is not allowed to eat, the Pesukim actually said, the nazir is not allowed to eat any grape product, any zug, chartzan, any peels or seeds of a grape. Why is a nazir not allowed to eat any peels or seeds of a grape? Again, siyag dal raisa, lest he comes to drink wine. One that relates to today's daf, the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis Rabbah Parshiyud says Tosefa Shabbos. Tosefa Shabbos is a din dal raisa. They have to be mosav mechol al kodesh. A lot of people are knowing only to do it during the summertime for whatever reason. I mean, we know what the reason is, because Shabbos starts much, much later, but Tosefes Shabbos din dar raisa, you're supposed to be Moshe Michal HaKodesh. Machlokos Rishonim, what the shear of Tosefes is. Some Rishonim say a half hour, others say even just a couple of minutes. It's a question, when you have a minyan that runs right up against Shkia, like most of our shuls do. We always have a minyan, starts Mincha minyan 10 minutes before Shkia. So obviously you weren't Mekabel Shabbos yet when you're still davening Mincha, right? So we weren't Mekabel Shabbos yet, and we're davening Mincha, and by the time Mincha ends, it's already Shkia. So where's the Tosef HaShabbos? So that's the Kash is better than the Teretz. Whatever the Teretz is, the Kash is better than the Teretz. We fail a little bit in Tosef HaShabbos. When my Rebbe Rav Silver was here for Shabbos, he said, yeah, I noticed your schedule. When do you do Tosef HaShabbos? I didn't have an answer. I was hoping he would be able to answer it for me, but in Eretz Yisrael, apparently they don't have that minhag, or at least where he davens. So Tosef HaShabbos, the Medrash Rabbah says, is a din da'oraisa. Why? Because what's going to happen? A person's going to be working right up until the minute Shabbos starts. What's going to stop him from working 1 second over the line? He'll continue to work a second into Shabbos. In order to make sure that doesn't happen, the Torah creates this concept called Tosef HaShabbos, Yimosu Mechol Al Kodesh, stop working a little bit early, stop Melech a little bit early, and therefore when Shabbos starts, you'll be safe in terms of that. The reason that relates to today's daf is Rav Yosef Engel points out it seems to be against the Gemara in today's daf. In today's daf, in Daf Yibbeis and Pesachim, the Gemara says that one thing we know for sure is that no one, even though people will get confused in terms of what time it is, that was what today's daf was all about confusing 3 hours into the day with 5 hours into the day or 4 hours into the day, and Machlok Shemei Rabbi Yudah, how much of a confusion there really is in times. But one thing we know for sure, people ben yimam lelele, between day and night time, people don't get confused. So there's no way one guy is going to say 1 hour into the day, and the other guy is going to say no, it was right before daybreak, and that they're going to that they're really saying the same thing, and that just one of them was off on the time, because between day and night, everyone knows. So ask Rav Yosef Engel, how can the Medrash Rabbah say that Tosef Shabbos is needed as a siyag, because otherwise a person's never going to realize when Shabbos starts? What do you mean? Shabbos starts at night, and between day and night, a person will always recognize. Okay, that's Rav Yosef Engel's ha'ara. Bottom line is, though, according to this Ran and Tosfos, again, going back to Pesachim over here, I didn't intend to take that long on that other topic, but going back to Pesachim over here, according to this Ran and Tosfos, the reason for the Yisra Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei is Shalo Yavo Liachlov. Now take a look at a Rambam. The Rambam in Chametz Matzah Parak Aleph, Halacha Beis, may imply this way as well. If you look in the Rambam, source number 16, HaChametz b'Pesach chaser b'hanaya. We're not allowed to get hanaya from chametz and Pesach. Shnemar lo yochel chametz lo yehei bo heter achila. Lo yehechel means that there's no heter achila in it, meaning you can't even do anything that will lead to someone else eating it that will benefit you. V'hameniya chametz b'rishusa b'Pesach, and someone who leaves chametz in his possession on Pesach, afal pisha lo achlo, even if he doesn't eat it, over b'shnei lavin is in violation of two losase. Shnemar lo yirah l'chasar b'chol gvulach v'nemar sor lo yimatzei v'vateichem. Because it's nisru, bal yirah, bal yimatzei. So how do I know bal yirah, bal yimatzei? So when do I violate bal yirah, bal yimatzei? If you leave chametz b'reshuso, afal pishal o'achlo, even though you didn't eat it. What would have been missing from the Rambam if the Rambam would have just said, v'haminiya chametz b'reshuso over b'shnei lavin? What's the afal pishal o'achlo, even though you didn't eat it? Just tell me, if I leave the chametz in my rishus, I violate bal yirah, bal yimatzei. I have to add that extra chiddush, even though I don't need it. Of course, it's even though I don't need it. If I ate it, then I violate kol machmetz lo sochelu. You know, I'm chayv kares, right? Kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrusa, ki kol ochel machmetzes. Is that how it goes? V'nichrusa, right? I'm chayv kares for eating chametz. So why do I? What's the Rambam adding? Afal pishalo achlo. So Rabbi Sachs wanted to be medayik that the Rambam may be saying like the Ran. But what the Rambam is suggesting is that the reason for Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei is Shelo Yavo Le'achlo. The reason the Torah asks owning Chametz is that you don't come to eat it. So that's why the Rambam emphasizes when he talks about the Yisra to own Chametz, that when you own Chametz, you leave Chametz in your Rishos, even if you didn't eat it, you're still in violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. And that's what it's all about. It's all about that you might come to eat it. So even if you didn't eat it, you're still in violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei.
Even if it's a siyag, once it's Aser, it's Aser. still, why should Rav have to say?
Ah, so l'may nafkamina is the question, right? Meaning, when you say, forget about the Rambam even, just in general, who cares that it's, something's a siyag d'oraisa? It's an issa d'oraisa, an issa d'oraisa is an issa d'oraisa. Right? So what's the nafkamina that something's a siyag? It's not a siyag. So the very first Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Pesachim, I'm a little bit ahead in Daf Yomi, I actually just got to it today. The very first Mishnah, it's summertime, I get to learn ahead. The very first Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Pesachim, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah talks about Taroves Chametz and Chametz Nuksha. Talks about Chametz that's in different mixtures, and Chametz Nuksha. Chametz Nuksha is Chametz that starts the Chimutz process but never finishes the Chimutz process. The Chimutz process involves a dough rising, turning white, the surface of the dough turning white, and then cracks developing in the dough, and ultimately so many cracks that they intersect with each other. So it's machlokes tanaim at which there are three stages. There's the matzah stage, the seor stage, and the chametz stage. So there's machlokes tanaim, Ramei Rav Yehuda, at which stage we hit seor, and which stage we hit chametz. But chametz nuksha is where the process is aborted somewhere before chametz. That it started the chimutz process. Chametz is not a yay or nay. It's not just it is or it isn't. It's a process. So at some point before the end of the process, it's aborted. That's chametz nuksha. So the Mishnah, the parak is called the Elu Ovrin. Why? Because the Mishnah starts with the words the Elu Ovrin Pesach. And these are the things that a person violates, that a person Ovrin Pesach. I shouldn't translate. That a person is Ovrin Pesach. So as Machlokas Rashi tells us what the Mishnah is talking about when it says Ovrin. So Rashi on the spot in source number 20, V'elu Ovrin Alehen Bibal Yirah Bibal Yimatzeh. That what the Mishnah means to say is that if you have these types of chametz in your possession on Pesach, you violate Bibal Yirah Bibal Yimatzeh. The Gemara goes on for several topics to explain, not kares, not an Isser kares, but Bibal Yirah Bibal Yimatzeh. If you eat it, it's not even kares. It's a losaseh. But owning it is Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. That's how Rashi understands. An Isser to own Chametz, and that's what it means, Elu Ovrin. Says Tosfos, right there in Membeza Medal, source number 21, the Elu Ovrin Pesach, Pirusha Kuntras Lavar Alein Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, the Gam Riva Medaktik Miloshan Ovrin Demashma Ovrin Min Ha'olam. That Ovrin means get rid of it. It has to be gone. So Rashi sounds like it's over on an avera, meaning that you have violated. Over is lashon of a violation of something. The Rivam says it means the same thing, that it's by Yirah by Yimatzeh, but not because the word over means to violate. It means over means get it out. So you need to get rid of chametz. Why do you need to get rid of chametz? Because there's nisra by Yirah by Yimatzeh. Ve'inir le Rabbeinu Tam. Demashma de kolhanach marbinu mikol machmetz lo sochelu va'afilu ba'achilu lo av mechayev ilav de Rabbi Yikra. Rabbeinu Tam says, wait a second. The Gemara for several dapim is going to go on to show me where do I know that it's asr to eat taroves chametz and chametz nuksha. The Gemara never shows me a source that it's asr to own taroves chametz and chametz nuksha. So Rabbeinu Tam says, it's nice to translate the Mishnah that the Mishnah means ve'elu over. These are violations by Rabbi Yimatzeh. But it doesn't say that anywhere, that it's an isr by Rabbi Yimatzeh to own such chametz. V'nir l'Rabbeinu Tam de elu ovrin pirish ha'ochlin va'ovrin ha'ochlin, that people who eat it va'ovrin haynu me'al ha'shulchan. He says ovrin means get it off your table because you can't eat it. Where should you put it? I don't know, put it in the cabinet because you could own it. That's fine, just leave it in the cabinet, but not on your table. Take it off your table because you can't eat it. Machlokas Rashi tells us what elu ovrin means. Does it mean ovrin me'al ha'shulchan? Does it mean over from your ownership? Now, how does this help us in our discussion? So maybe as follows: the Magid Mishnah, in explaining a Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchas Chametz Matzah, the Magid Mishnah writes that there's a machlokas, what exactly the Shitas HaRambam is when it comes to Tarovas Chametz, if you have a mixture of Chametz that doesn't have a Kazayis Bichdei Achilas Pras. What does that mean? So if, if you eat this Chametz normally, Tarovas Chametz means it's Chametz mixed with other ingredients. So you have this broth, this soup, let's say, this stew that has some Chametz in it, and you can't pick out the Chametz and separate it from the rest of it, right? So if you eat that stew in the shear of a kedei achilas pras, which is the shear of what's called an achila, will you get a kezayis of chametz in there? So let's assume the case is that there's so little chametz in the taroves that when you eat a pras of this food, you're going to ingest less than a kezayis of chametz. Two deis in how to understand the Rambam, whether that's a violation, such chametz is asr to own. Is it asr to own such chametz, chametz that if you were to eat a keder an achilas pras of it, you would not get a kezayis? What are they arguing about? What's the nekudas hamachlokas? Whether there's an iser to own chametz that's mixed together with enough non-chametz that you would get less than a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras? Maybe this is what they're arguing about. What's the iser to own chametz? Is the iser to own chametz its own independent iser that I'm not allowed to own a kezayis of chametz, period? And you could take that kezayis of chametz and scatter it throughout the entire world. But if I have a total of a kezayis chametz somewhere, I don't care how the you could have a pot the size of this building, but there's a kezayis chametz somewhere in that pot. I own a kezayis chametz. I'm in violation of Bali Rabbi Matzei. Or maybe not. Maybe the iser of Bali Rabbi Matzei is a siyag d'oraisa that you might come to the iser of achilas chametz. But if the chametz is mixed in with so many things that it's made in such a way that you couldn't possibly come to the iser d'oraisa of achilas chametz. Because even if you eat the whole pot, you're never going to get a kezayis within a kedei achilas pras. There's too many other ingredients. So no matter how much you eat of it, you're never going to get a kezayis within a shear of a kedei achilas pras. So if that's the case, then maybe there should be no iser of Bali Rabbi Matzei on such a tarovis of chametz. Because I can't possibly come to the iser of achilas chametz. Maybe that's the concept, that for a siyag d'oraisa, maybe that's the nafkamina, that if it's a siyag d'oraisa, that's clearly associated with the iser of achilas chametz, so the concern that I'll come to eat it doesn't apply when I have less than a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. And maybe that's the two deis in how to understand and how to understand the Rambam. The problem with that approach is that the Ran holds that the Yisr Bali Rabbi Matzei is shlo yavol yachlo, that you shouldn't come to eat it, but he still says that Taruvus Chametz is subject to Bali Rabbi Matzei. So wait a second. If Bali Rabbi Matzei shlo yavol yachlo means the Ran holds of Siyag d'oraisa, right? So then how come a Taruvus Chametz is subject to Bali Rabbi Matzei? I mean, it wouldn't work out. If I'm saying this is a nafkamina, so the way to make a good nafkamina is that the shitos line up. That if I say, if you hold A, then it means B, and if you hold C, then it means D. Well, if it doesn't line up and it doesn't work out, and you find a rishon that holds that way and that way, so then you're in trouble. The Ran holds that it's a siyag d'oraisa. Bali Rabbi Matzei, you might come to eat it. But yet he still holds Tarovas Chametz, even when it's less than Kzai Spichtei Achilas Pras, that it's nisr to own such Chametz. So it could be, that the Ran would assume that, yeah, it is a Siyag D'oraisa, so that you might come to eat it. The fact that a Chametz is in a Tarovas, though, doesn't take away the Siyag D'oraisa, for two possible reasons. One is that the Chametz is still there. Nothing has changed about the Chametz. It's just less accessible. The lack of accessibility doesn't mean that it's not royal achila, that it's not, it happens to be practically you can't eat it. But as a cheftza of chametz, it's still every bit the cheftza of chametz it was before. The other possible approach, and I'm not doing it justice because we're up against the clock over here, but the other possible approach is that who says just because it's a siyag d'oraisa that the iser is not going to apply when the reason doesn't apply? Meaning there could be dinim that are a siyag d'oraisa that the Torah makes like a low plug, like the Rabbanan make a siyag all the time. A lot of times when the Rabbanan make a siyag, they make it a low plug that it applies across the board. So it could be this too will apply across the board according to the Rabbanan.